Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Thursday, February 16th, 2023. We are live at Youngstown Studio. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today. We're going to talk, obviously, sports here in a little bit. We're going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are at the All-Star break. We're going to talk about YSU men's and women's hoops. They're playing their final four home games of the regular season coming up this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, alternating men's hoops and women's hoops down at the Beagley Center. We're going to get into some East Palestine stuff. I haven't really talked about it or addressed it besides on social media. So obviously our thoughts are with the people of East Palestine. We're talking almost 2 weeks since that train derailment occurred. So yeah, we'll talk about that. And obviously there's going to be some sports tied in with that. And I'd like your guys' opinions on that. And since we're going to get into some weird stuff today, Joe and I are sipping on some bourbon already. Little Blanton's. You can't go wrong with that. But we're going to talk a little Shooter McGavin, Joe. A little Shooter McGavin on the show. We're going to talk some conspiracy theories, okay, both in sports and out of sports. Some, you know, topical stuff in the news. So we're going to have a little fun today. And so that's kind of a look at what's on the show. And, you know, baseball is just around the corner. Yesterday it was, what, 72 degrees?
I'll take it.
Today's in the 50s. Tomorrow's back in the 30s. You know, it's wintertime in Ohio. That's what happens around here. But first of all, let's just get into a couple news and notes around the sports world. We're going to start local. We're going to start in Youngstown, downtown. We're going to talk YSU men's basketball real quick and just get into this. So first of all, Youngstown State, led by Coach Jared Calhoun, the men will play tonight at home against Milwaukee, and on Saturday against Green Bay. The women will take the court on Friday and Sunday at the Beagley Center. YSU men playing for first place in the Horizon League Conference. So get out there and support YSU men's basketball. They're playing some great, great basketball right now. On the ladies' side, they are 18-7 currently. They are 12-2 at home. They're going to play their last two home games, and it's Milwaukee and Green Bay. So it's kind of Youngstown versus Wisconsin this weekend, downtown Youngstown at the Beagley Center. So get out and support both the men's and women's teams. They're both having excellent years, both have a great shot to get in the NCAA tournament. So support your YSU Penguins. And again, led by great, great players, great coaches. And I just realized this the other night. I knew the Celtics coach, Mazzullo, was an assistant with Calhoun previous to this at Fairmont State. Also, the Memphis Grizzlies coach was an assistant with Jared Calhoun as well. So two NBA head coaches were assistants of YSU men's head basketball coaches at Fairmont State before he took over the YSU job. So I thought that was kind of pretty cool if you did not know that. So real quick, let's check in with the Cleveland Cavaliers and then let's get to some fun topics. But the Cavs lately have been fun. So 38-23, which is good for second in the Central behind the Bucks and fourth overall in the Eastern Conference. They have a 25-6 home record, 13-7 on the road, 22-11 versus the Eastern Conference, 15-12 versus the West, 6-0 in overtime games this season. You can see the Eastern Conference standings. The Cavs are currently sitting at 38-23, which is five games back of the first place Celtics, and not too far behind the Bucks and the 76ers. I think the Cavs are pretty much a lock to be in the top four seed. So, you know, getting that home playoff series is going to be huge for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they are number 10 in offensive rating, number one in defensive rating, and number two overall in net rating in the NBA. They are led in scoring by Donovan Mitchell, 27.3 points a game, Jared Allen, 10 rebounds a game, and Darius Garland, 8 assists per game. Donovan Mitchell will be a starter in this year's All-Star Game. Where was he traded from? The Utah Jazz. Where's the All-Star Game this year? In Salt Lake City, Utah. So that will be kind of cool for him, a little homecoming, getting back with the Utah Jazz. He has 21 games of 30 or more points this year, which is pretty impressive. His backcourt mate with Darius Garland, point guard, having another great season, basically the same numbers as last year, and he had an all-star season last year. So if anyone comes up hurt or needs a replacement in the last minute, Darius Garland would be a great replacement for the all-star game. Evan Mobley having a great year, really stepping up, a seven-footer, only 21 years old in his second season at a USC. And then Jared Allen, the other big man, these are pretty much their four stars, 26 double-doubles on the season for the big man out of Texas, averaging about 15 and 10 on the season. So we want to welcome back Danny Green. Danny Green was bought out of his contract in a trade. And he comes into the Cavaliers being one of four players in NBA history to win an NBA title with three or more teams. LeBron James is one of the others. Robert Horry is another. And I believe John Sally is the fourth. So a little trivia there if you did not know that. So Danny Green probably give you, 10 minutes a night, but a nice veteran leader in the locker room. So that is a great fit for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Can hit a three, play some good defense for you too. But with that said, the Cavs and Kevin Love are working on a buyout right now. So Kevin Love has played his last game for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So imagine that. So got him. Look, Joe, I thought you might appreciate that graphic. Looks like he's shooting a little heart there. Yeah. So Kevin Love, a little Valentine's Day tribute to him. Well, it was just the graphic. There's some things I can do and some things I can't. I'm not an expert in Photoshop or anything like that. So that's the best I could do, Joe. come on. I was not an art major, so we'll leave it at that. But Kevin Love leaves the Cavs. Obviously, to me, the thing I remember most about him is kind of that last stand against Steph Curry. He got a switch onto Steph Curry in the 2016 finals and really made a difficult shot for him to prevent a three that would have tied the game in game seven of the NBA finals. But Kevin Love leaves Cleveland, most likely Miami Heat or another veteran team where he would be a good fit on. But he leaves the Cavs in top 10 in Cavs history. He is number 10 in all-time field goals made. He is number 2 in three-pointers made. He is number 8 in free throws made, number 6 overall in rebounds, number 9 in points, and number 8 in rebounds per game, averaging 9.2 rebounds a game with his time with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, it doesn't seem like Kevin Love has been around for that long, but, he came to the Cavs in the 2014-15 season. So it's been a long, long time for Kevin Love in a Cavs uniform. So with that said, that's our YSU talk. That's our Cavs talk. Now we're going to get into some interesting stuff, some fun stuff, some controversial stuff, whatever you want to say. But I saw this out there today. Obviously, anyone that follows MLO Bros, anyone that follows Malutic Live, or any of the local sports outlets around here, Bristol and East Palestine were scheduled to have an OHSAA girls high school basketball game tonight in East Palestine. Now, we all at least know about the train derailment that has affected the town of East Palestine and the surrounding communities in Columbiana County. Obviously, a terrible situation. Luckily, I say this, no one has died that I know of. I know there's been some, fish and maybe some wildlife, and which is terrible and unfortunate. But luckily, no one has lost their lives, at least that I know of, from the news. Now, obviously, this could carry ramifications years ahead from now, and that's beyond my pay grade. I don't know what's going to happen. But tonight, speaking from a sports perspective, it was deemed safe. So the kids returned back to school, I believe, in East Palestine yesterday or the day before, or at least this week sometime. I'm not exactly sure of the date, so correct me if I'm wrong on that. And if anyone knows any specific details, feel free to drop in the comments. But Joe, here's my question to you. So with the train derailment and the explosion and all the chemicals, and I know there was like a burn off and stuff like that, what's your feelings on, hypothetically, let's just say your son Ryan went to school in East Palestine, or, you know, a family member or whatever. What's your feelings on them? Like, would you feel safe sending them to school in that environment?
Not a chance.
No?
Nope. I'd sell my house for a bag of corn and I'd move somewhere south.
Well, and I'm guessing the railroad company, and again, I don't want to get into anything here, they're going to probably try to get off as cheaply as they can, you know, like, oh, here's $1,000, you know, that's a drop in the bucket, you know, for a lot of these big companies.
But if somebody handed you a check and that's more money than you're used to seeing, you might halfway sign off on that deal.
And yeah. And you know, people are lured by money. Obviously that's a big thing. That's the way the world goes around, you know, but if you're signing something or if you're taking money early, and that maybe prohibits you future monies down the road, 100%. That could be to your detriment.
But I have a feeling that the population of East Palestine's doubled in just attorneys alone.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, when, you know, I haven't been in a car accident, knock on wood, in a while, but if someone gets in a car accident, you're getting all these letters from all these attorneys and whatnot, like, or hurt in a car, call KNR or any of that stuff. There's always these, you know, ambulance attorneys that are flying around and trying to get your business. So I'm thinking those are a lot of people in East Palestine trying to drum up some income for their clientele and their base. But from a health perspective, you know, I've seen reports that this could be the worst natural disaster in the United States in dozens of years. This could be, you know, horrible and have long-standing effects, like that, you know, there's carcinogens in the air, and, you know, maybe this doesn't affect you now or in 2 or 5 years, but in 10 or 20 years, maybe there's cancer-causing agents in this or something like that. So you would get your child out of that school if you could. And again, it's not the town's fault, it's not the school's fault, but it's in ground zero of bad situations. So
see, they're almost halfway lucky that they did do that burn off, even though it created a bunch of devastation. Let's just say they didn't do that. Let's just say the EPA came in and they designated it too harmful to burn that stuff off. You would have had a major throughway for transportation stuck with that crash. They would have had all the line dug up and mitigated for all of the toxins.
Yeah.
So even though it was bad to burn it, it would probably have been so much worse to not burn it.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is here. And obviously there's a lot of people affected. East Palestine is not a big town in terms of population, but, you know, this could affect millions of people if it gets in the water stream or in the air and whatnot, and just a bad situation. So here's the question I'm going to pose from a sports perspective. So I'm going to put this graphic up. And so Bristol, which I believe is in northern Trumbull County, and East Palestine, which is in Columbiana County, the game tonight was ruled a no contest. So East Palestine moves on. They get the automatic win. So basically it's a forfeit. Because Bristol wanted the game moved, and the OHSAA and the NEDAB said it was safe to play. Now, I don't know all the circumstances, but I would just read this as a headline, and I said, well, damn, if my kid played at Bristol, I might not want him to play in this game in East Palestine. And you could argue from the East Palestine perspective, well, they played well enough this season to earn a home game. Maybe they deserve that. Those kids shouldn't be punished. So what is the real answer here? You know, and maybe there is no right answer. So what's your thoughts on this game? The game has been ruled a no contest. So East Palestine moves on, Bristol eliminated. And that could be, you know, if there's senior players on that team, that could be the last time they ever take the basketball court, and you know, what happens?
Yeah. See, I think they should have moved it. Mm-hmm. There's enough schools and places to play to make everybody feel safe. I mean, you watch what happened in the NFL when there was a snowstorm. They found another venue to run it, and they played the game in a safer place.
Yeah.
So I think the OSHA should have done the same thing.
And there's a little bit more logistics with an NFL game than high school girls basketball game.
Yeah.
Here's my thought. Bristol in Trumbull County, East Palestine in Columbiana County. Meet halfway, right in the middle, somewhere in Mahoning County, Youngstown area. I guarantee another high school would step up and do that, and the OHSAA pay for the officials and whatnot. And maybe there's a lot of moving parts. I don't know, but it seems common sense that game should have just been moved to a neutral 100%. Site. Not giving not giving Bristol an advantage, but also not to East Palestine's detriment either. So I don't know. It seems like a bad situation overall. And when we're talking high school basketball versus the safety and well-being of people in the long run, obviously there's no conversation there.
Government officials said it's totally safe, so that must mean something.
I mean, right? And their government officials are always correct, Joe. They never make a mistake ever. Never. And the train company, who they're totally just worried about people's health and safety, not the almighty dollar.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. My thoughts are move the game to a neutral site. Joe thinks the same thing. It's like, what do you guys think? Because that's kind of an ugly situation. And it's really not fair for the East Palestine girls, or it's really not fair for the Bristol girls and their coaches and their players. And you work so hard in a season. And I know these are smaller schools, and I don't know what their records are. They're probably not, they're not lighting the world on fire. I know they're not like an upper echelon teams, but they still deserve a chance to play another game, just like every other high school in the state of Ohio does too. I know that sometimes there's extenuating circumstances. I almost mixed that up there, but I don't know.
So you, as a basketball coach, like, is a home court an advantage when it comes to that? I mean, what would East Palestine be giving up by going to me,
the biggest home court advantage would be not having to travel. That would be huge.
Okay.
But from like a home court, there's not a ton of, I've played and coached in a lot of different settings around here. And unless it's like an elite level basketball game from a boys' perspective, generally, usually there's not like that huge crowd influence that's going to like change the way a game's going to go. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, maybe there could be, maybe a couple hundred more fans here and there, but
yeah. And that's why if they just moved it a little bit north, then mm-hmm. those fans would have traveled with them, and it would
exactly
be the same group.
Exactly. And give them something to be distracted about as well, especially those East Palestine kids who will still get to play because, they did get the win, but, or a no contest, whatever you want to say, but I don't know. Just wanted your opinions on that. So
yeah, sorry. I'm sorry if I was too controversial.
No. I think that's well said, because I don't know. Like, and I guess unless you're in that situation, I don't know what you would do.
Right.
But I would want the game to be played. And if I'm Bristol, I'm pissed. I'm pissed because it's like, give us the opportunity to play in a neutral site where we don't have to worry about our health and safety. And whether you say it's safe or not, I mean, we're talking less than two weeks ago. There's still chemicals in the air. And again, maybe it's been deemed safe to play, but that's someone's opinion versus, it's not, we don't have a bunch of EPA people, working in the school districts and stuff like that. So I don't know.
Their new mascot is the nine-legged cow, by the way. The East Palestine nine-legged cow,
and it may well be. And what are Bristol's? Are they the Devils? I'm not sure what they are, but they wouldn't want a third or fourth horn growing out eventually. No. So, all right, I hope we don't get in trouble for that one. but in all seriousness, like I know I can speak for Joe on this. Is we're thinking about East Palestine, and we wish everyone well down there, and it's a shitty situation, yeah, frankly, sure. And it just sucks. So, all right, let's move on to some other conspiracy theories. Chinese spy balloons, Joe.
Yes, yeah.
Let me hear your thoughts on Chinese spy balloons.
Are they UFOs?
Technically, they're UFOs because they're on it.
I'm going to go with UFOs.
Okay.
I think it's convenient that we can slide balloons in for UFOs anytime we want.
Yeah.
Now, do I think China's, you know, looking for an advantage and slide a little, you know, whatever? Mm-hmm. They could do the same shit with satellites.
Okay.
So they don't need a spy.
That's a great point.
To see this stuff. That's it's an aggressive, you know, like a thumb in your eye type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the third and fourth shoot down were just some private guy doing a weather balloon and we overacted. Yeah. Poor dude.
Like, did they ever find out? Like, I know they said the one was as big as like three school buses.
The first one.
Yeah.
One that I think truly was a Chinese thumb in your eye was probably a great big one.
But did they ever tell us what was in there?
No.
So no. I don't know. That to me, that's weird.
That's just
weird.
Yeah.
Now, the United States and China, not always political allies. And we don't get too political on that show. We save that for other stuff.
Yeah.
But I know a big point of contention was, I believe it was the United States Secretary of State wanted to go and, you know, meet with the Chinese diplomats and whatever. But because the big thing with the United States and China is Taiwan. Taiwan and China don't see eye to eye.
Right.
The United States is an ally of Taiwan, a great trading partner of China, obviously. But I don't know. China kind of ruffled some feathers here with this stuff. So whereas our old friend Donald Trump would say, not my old friend, but some people's old friend, China.
China.
So anyways, moving on.
That's the worst that you can get with conspiracy theories. Come on, we got to dig a little
deeper. Oh, no. We can go more. Well, all right, I got some sports ones coming up, and then I want you to share whatever ones are on your plate with that. So let's get you want to get into the sports ones right now? All right. Let me jump to this one then. Okay. Here's one from the Super Bowl recently. The Sod Father. Now, the Super Bowl, you heard about the Super Bowl with a lot of guys slipping and falling and stuff. So I read this today. George Toma, who grew the grass or whatever, and apparently he's grown the grass for almost all the Super Bowls and whatever. They call him the Sod Father, literally the Sod Father. He's a Chiefs fan. He has two Super Bowl rings from the Chiefs. And the Chiefs apparently during the game did not have to change cleats. So they knew something where the Eagles had to change cleats like 10, 12 different times or something like that. And this was a legit stat from the game. The Eagles had a defender slip on 38% of Patrick Mahomes' dropbacks. Conspiracy?
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. So
something to it. So they changed it up and so they couldn't do game planning for the size cleats that they were wearing. And the slippery paint that they used too was an interesting thing.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe just like a little insider trading with the Sod Father and the Chiefs and maybe Andy Reid and whatnot.
Put some banana peels in the paint.
Yeah. O'Doyle rules. Or in this case, the Sod Father rules. Yeah. Okay. Here is I had no idea this was a thing until someone brought it to my attention last week. But do you remember Damar Hamlin, the guy from the Bills that made the tackle, went down, they had to do CPR on the field, and luckily he lived. You know, they found out, you know, the CPR saved his life and whatnot. Okay. Do you know that people actually think this is a conspiracy theory going around the internet? And we know almost everything on the internet is true.
100%. Totally legit.
So people actually think he died and he has a stand-in.
I heard that. And leading up to it, they kept like not showing his face so that they had a body double that was doing mm-hmm. his press conferences.
Yeah. When he was at the that snow game, the Buffalo Cincinnati game, when they would show him, his face was blurred out from the snow and whatnot. And then the jacket he was supposedly wearing at the Super Bowl was like seen as satanic. Which is, I don't know, it just made me laugh.
I love this rabbit hole we go down with everything so and much everybody. Fun. No matter what, somebody's got to set a challenge.
And by the way, this is not Joe and I saying this stuff. This is stuff we're just commenting on. And Another thing I saw was they said DeMar Hamlin's, this is how specific they got. They said, if you look at his right ear, it looks different in the one in the Super Bowl versus any previous photo he's ever taken. So they think it's like a stand in for him. So
yeah, his brother, Jamar Hamlin, is standing in for him right now.
So
different ears.
And then this was an anonymous person that quoted this, but I had to write this down. The same guy who thinks the Turkey earthquake was a weapon and the China balloon was fake after China admitted it was theirs also thinks DeMar Hamlin is a clone or the real DeMar Hamlin died of the vaccine. So just pretty ridiculous stuff there.
I hate this era that we're living. I really do. It's fun, but I hate it.
Conspiracy theories really interest me and are entertaining, but there's some that people can take a little too far. And there's some that are just so unbelievable that it's like, it makes the ones that might actually be conspiracy theories not believable. Do you know what I'm saying with that? So
for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't trust anybody and neither do you. So it's cool to have the question first.
I trust you, Joe.
No, you don't. You should not.
Mostly,
you I should trust not. You. Don't do it.
Caution you don't. Me. You don't trust me.
To a point.
I'm a trustworthy person, mostly. Mostly, yeah. You know. So.
But anyway, like those balloons.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's do UFOs.
Yeah.
DeMar Hamlin is a clone. He's an android that was concocted out of a lab in the back of the FBI warehouse.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this is plausible. Yeah. Maybe not probable, but plausible.
Or he died from getting a vaccine.
Could have. Totally could have. Or he could have died and then he was resurrected by some kind of like artificial intelligence and now he's a wandering zombie. You never know.
You never know. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Anybody ask him any questions and make sure cognitively the same guy? He's got different ears.
Very plausible. Oh. Very plausible. All right. Well, so before we get into other stuff, yes. You got any good conspiracy theories like maybe we haven't heard lately or anything new or any ones you just want to share?
UFO one is dominating. So, I mean, you can talk about Sasquatches mm-hmm. and nobody's impressed anymore.
Yeah.
So, we'll go with that.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. No,
all right. So if there's a lot of like fires and train derailments and chickens not laying eggs, do you think that there's some kind of like assault on our food production and our goods distribution?
No.
All happenstance.
I'm not someone that's like, I don't know if I'd call it a survivalist or whatever, a doomsdayer, you know, like I'm not like, I'm just kind of like, if something bad's going to happen, you know, yes, you want to be prepared and stuff, but it's like at the same time, what are you going to do? You know,
well, I watched a girl that when she was feeding her chickens Purina food, they didn't lay any eggs. And when they switched
Purina food, dog food?
Well, they make chicken food.
Oh, okay.
So then they switched up food and they immediately started laying eggs. So do you think Purina is like, you know what? Screw these egg farmers. They're not going to get any eggs anymore.
I don't think Purina's sponsor of Youngstown Studio is.
I don't think they ever will be. Not at all.
Not after this one. No. No, that's interesting. Okay. No, I don't know.
But
to
some
me,
of these
no.
conspiracies, like they require so much like, I don't know, like intelligence. And I just think we're too stupid to pull any of those things.
Yeah,
off,
I agree. And a lot of times there's so many people that would have to keep quiet to keep something that big from spreading that there you couldn't find 10 people. If you told 10 people something, 8 of them are saying something.
Absolutely.
2 of them maybe can keep it quiet, but 8 people are going to be blabber mouths and you know, it's going to get out and spread and those 8 people tell 8 more people and, you know, then it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and it's forever going on. So people,
and today's conspiracy theories are not inspired, but definitely motivated by Blanton's bourbon.
Yes. Yes. That is a fact. That is a fact. Thank you, Blanton's, for sharing this.
We're going to get a cease and desist.
Also, there is one conspiracy theory that we had never talked about. Maybe we'll touch upon it this summer. Because this is when it actually happens, and it's a year. It happens on an annual basis. Have you ever heard of the Bohemian Grove?
No.
Okay, this is a great one to look into. Sweet. And I know you're close with the cut and toast people, and you guys have held one of those. This is a good one to talk about. So apparently, somewhere in like the San Francisco, like Redwood Forest area. Every summer, all like the elite of government and, government and just like business and all the, like the world elite meet there, and they're not supposed to discuss business, but I'm talking like former presidents and whatnot. They all meet at this place and they do all these like weird stuff in the woods. Like they wear the robes and they wear like the, you know, they worship this like,
ooh, I'm interested.
Toad or frog or something. Or no, it's an owl. It's an owl.
Okay.
So that's something to look into. Bohemian Grove, look into it. It's apparently like almost all the presidents, like Bush and Clinton. And,
what, do they sacrifice shit? Or what's the purpose?
Well,
what do they do?
There was a rumor. Now, again, we all love a good rumor and conspiracy theory that they used to, and I don't think, and again, I don't know. This is totally... from hearsay on other stuff, but apparently they used to kidnap a child or something and sacrifice a child. By the way, this is the 330 Sports Show. We're going deep down a rabbit hole, but it's apparently a thing. And I think maybe people have taken like a meeting and like maybe some weird rituals people do and taking it to the extreme, you know, like
fill in,
you
know, some,
like where there's liberties. A little smoke, they throw a lot of gasoline on it and it turns into a blaze. But look into Bohemian Grove. I think that's a really interesting one for you guys to talk about on your next conspiracy theory show. And I think that's one, like, I can't stand the guy, but he is definitely entertaining. Is that Alex Jones? And apparently he broke in there one time and got some evidence or recordings of some owl worshiping. And like, when I say owl, I'm talking like a huge statue and look into that one.
I will.
Okay. But so I think you'll have some fun with that. All right. So, next topic, funny or asshole? So remember Juju Smith-Schuster of the Steelers? So he went to the Kansas City Chiefs, won a Super Bowl. He was the one that got held on the last possession and tweeted this out the other day. And he said, "Happy Valentine's Day, everyone, with the love. I'll hold you the most when it matters."
Asshole.
And I believe that's Bradbury, the cornerback for the Eagles. So I don't like it. I don't like it because Juju Smith-Schuster in no way would be a Super Bowl champion without his teammates. He didn't get the job done in Pittsburgh, was an okay to average wide receiver in KC, but so you're going with asshole?
Absolutely.
Okay, me too. Just because. Apparently, Juju Smith-Schuster used to visit our Poland Nutrition, which... If you didn't know, has no nutritional value whatsoever.
Zero.
All right, next topic. 216 day. So 216, today's February 16th, 216 day, area code of Cleveland, in the area surrounding.
Used to be our area code.
Used to be. Yeah, that is very true. If we didn't have so many damn phones, this would be the 216 sports show, not the 330 sports show. But favorite thing about the Cleveland or Cleveland area?
My favorite thing
could
about
be sports or non-sports or food or.
I love sports. I mean, you can't like put three awesome venues in like a 2 mile radius and not love sports.
Yeah, I still think the Browns Stadium needs a damn roof, and that would make the city of Cleveland a lot better. But the Cavs winning a championship in 2016, which is kind of cool because if you put the zero in front of the two, you know, two in between the zero, or I'm sorry, in between the two and the one, 216, 2016. Yeah. So kind of a cool thing there. But, you know, Cleveland has so much to offer. It gets ragged on a lot. And I feel like being from Youngstown, you have to defend your city. And Cleveland is another city I think that sometimes doesn't get the credit it deserves. So, there's a lot to love about the city of Cleveland. So 216 day, celebrating that. Next topic, I thought this was awesome. Tip of the cap to Michael Jordan. Donated $10 million to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He is celebrating his 60th birthday. By the way, Michael Jordan, 60 years old, but is the largest donation ever by one person to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Thought that was awesome. So really cool. Just very, very cool.
He's one of my secret mentors. I mean, his philosophy on business was unmatched.
And he is, I mean, he's become an owner of an NBA franchise, one of the few billionaires that ever went from an athlete to, you know, like a mogul, really. You know, he's like just a leader in everything he does, and took, you know, something he took. There's a movie even coming out called Air, and he's not in, but it's about him, which is so cool because, you know, shoes were just kind of like a thing until Michael Jordan came around. And then it became, shoes became like, I need those Jordans, or like, you know, then everyone had a shoe because of Jordan. So
I've never owned Air Jordans.
I have owned two pairs, but they were, growing up as a kid in the early 90s, they were like the thing to have. And I had a pair then, but I actually bought a retro pair a few years ago, and they're still pretty awesome.
Well, so right now I'm cool because I do the New Balance thing, and I get the best New Balances.
Do you get the New Balance dad shoes?
You know it.
And cargo shorts. Do you cut the grass in them?
I've never cut the grass. Okay. They're too nice. I want to keep them pristine.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But to have the true dad effect, you need some grass stains on those white New Balances.
Get some fake ones.
And pull your socks up about a quarter
way. Yes. Striped socks. Cargo pants,
polo. So we're going from a goat and Michael Jordan to goat with dads to another goat of Tiger Woods. He plays golf today, and that's just another thing. It might not seem like a big deal, but this dude almost died like not too long ago. So just a very, very cool thing. So keep an eye on Tiger Woods and his status. I did not bet it, but I could see the odds were slightly better for him to miss the cut. Then make the cut this weekend. But just him playing is pretty impressive.
Did you see that the Haslam is interested in buying another sports team?
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I'm not ruining a slide.
No. I just want him to focus on making the one he does own a good team, and maybe just pay the money and make the money, but stay out of everyone else's way and let them do their job. That's my opinion. And I know our buddy Andrew DiPaolo has very strong feelings on this, and he would want D and Jimmy Haslam to sell the team. So,
to whom? Like, who would be a better owner? Anybody?
Anyone? Well, literally, NFL franchises are gold. You cannot. There are people lining up to buy any franchise, let alone an NFL team. I believe they bought it for like $1 billion. I believe the value has tripled since they bought it. So, I mean, just sell it now and you're $2 billion. You've profited $2 billion. And, you know, but when you know you own a franchise like that, you can just print money, you know, and it is gold, you know, and there's only 32 franchises in the NFL. And there's a lot more than 32 billionaires out there that want a piece of that pie. And, you know, there's only so many slots for so many people, but it's the rich getting richer. But my opinion, either own it and let the people you hire, let them do their jobs, or sell it and be done with it. I don't think you should go for another franchise and then like split your time, or maybe splitting your time up is a good thing because then you're not, you know, messing with other people's business within the football franchise.
So give me a grade rank. The Haslam's owning the Cleveland Browns. You give them an A to F.
C-. Yeah. Okay. Not failing because they have done some okay things, but not adequate. They're like below average because the Browns have not won a lot since they've owned the team. They did get to the playoffs once, but that should be the bare minimum. You know, they've taken a lot of heat with the Deshaun Watson thing. But they are doing some things to upgrade the facilities and, you know, so we'll see what the Haslams end up doing. But
if he puts a roof on the stadium, does it go up to a B at least?
I'll give him a C plus. Okay. I'll give him a C plus because I don't want a roof. I want a new whole new stadium. Okay. And if they fund it, then I'll go to a B. If they fund it and not make the taxpayers pay the whole threshold of it, because that would be a hit that, you know, they don't want to deal with up in right. Cleveland, I'm sure. So, you know, so your thoughts on the Haslams, or give me your grade on the Haslams.
I think he's a great business owner, and I think he's a terrible sports team owner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. He meddles a little bit in mm-hmm. the sports side instead of delegating to people who know what the hell they're doing.
Perfect word.
I think the analytics part was genius, but I don't think he's given it a chance to work itself mm-hmm. out. I think we'd have had like 2 or 3 years of messiness that got us into a whole era.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he disturbed that with some of his personal picks along the way.
That's interesting. And Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
That was a bad one. Johnny couple football
coaches in there too.
Yeah. Didn't he consult a homeless man in Cleveland to pick Johnny Manziel? Hey, pick Johnny football. Hey, Johnny.
I'll like, buy two beers if you do that.
Yeah, seriously.
Sold.
Yeah, no. So maybe stick to the, well, they own the gas stations, right? Yeah. Pilot Flying J's, which, you know, especially down south is a huge thing. We have a few around here, but yeah, good business person, maybe not a great football team owner, but if they can turn it around, I will take those words back and gladly eat them.
Yep. Flying J words. Also not going to be a sponsor of this program.
Flying J could be a nickname for me, right? If I had the ups I used to have in high school. I do not have that vertical anymore. Jerick McKinnon. I want to give a shout out to this guy, another tip of the cap, because if you remember in the Super Bowl, he had an easy walk-in touchdown and he slid down at the 1 or 2 yard line. Could have talked to his grandchildren, you know, and for 50, 60 years saying, I scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. How many people can say they scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl? Not many. And he slid, you know, basically took a knee, ran out the clock. And, but with that said, they become Super Bowl champions. And that's just an awesome moment. And as Browns fans, we can maybe look back to week 2 when the season kind of flipped and you go from 2-0 to 1-1. And I'm not blaming Nick Chubb, but when Nick Chubb went in to score that touchdown, they could have slid down, ran out the clock, and just won the game. Instead, they score a touchdown, miss the extra point, give up a touchdown, give up an onside kick, give up another touchdown, lose the game. So
totally improbable, but still
it was a 0.3% chance of happening, but yeah, it happened. Right. And because that's what Browns fans deal with. So,
although Nick Chubb did make it up in a latter game where he did slide on one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Week 6 or
that whatever. That was actually, yeah, later on. And he did that previous to that. Like it was actually against Deshaun Watson and the Texans a few years back before that. Joe, you'll love this one.
Okay.
On this day, 2016, Shooter McGavin, 27 years ago, screwed out of a gold jacket. And this is his quote. First of all, Gilmore should have been kicked off the tour for assaulting Bob Barker, but I digress. During the 96 tour champion, he was allowed to fraternize with the help, swing and miss multiple times with no strokes being added, and had the entire gallery on his side. It was a complete and utter joke. I've moved on, but I still ask that you please keep the jokes to a minimum today. Thank you and God bless, Shooter. So on this day,
I don't know, that quote Shooter makes McGavin. Me feel a little bad for Shooter. Like he's the antagonist.
Yeah.
He's definitely the villain. And right now I feel a little bad for what Shooter had to do.
One of the greatest movie villains of all time.
That's right.
Funnest, greatest movie villains.
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? No. Take one more step. I burn the house down and piss on the ashes. Hey, spring is coming.
Yes.
Pitchers and catchers have reported as of yesterday, the Cleveland Guardians pitchers and catchers have reported. So that slide is from yesterday, but pretty awesome news that the signs of spring football has ended, but baseball is starting.
They only get a 2-month break, a 3-month break. Like, I can't believe they
baseball's a long season. It is so long. It's like as long as a school year.
Yeah,
really. And Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. All right, I have to bring this up because this was yesterday. We didn't have a show yesterday, but Bill Belichick, people always, I want to say people, you know, CBS Sports, and I've seen Fox Sports and other places always throw the Browns under the bus, the franchise of the Cleveland Browns. It says on this date in 1996, the Browns owner Art Modell fired Bill Belichick before moving his team to Baltimore. That is false. The Browns franchise never fired Bill Belichick. You can say Art Modell did, but they were the Baltimore Ravens when he was fired, not the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. So let it be known that Bill Belichick was never fired by the Cleveland Browns. He was fired by the Baltimore Ravens, and I will go to my grave until that is a fact. So it pisses me off because the Browns get thrown in the mud enough, let alone saying you fired the greatest NFL head coach of all time. Yeah. Did they maybe not, they weren't as successful as they should have been with Bill Belichick. Yeah. But they didn't fire him. So, and you take our team away from us in 1995, 96, and then, you know, they move on, they win the Super Bowl, and like 3 years later, it's still burns. Still burns. But
it makes
Joe.
A great, like, you know, villain in our Super Bowl or mm-hmm. in our football schedule.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, the Ravens. The Steelers are still the number one rival, then the Ravens, and then, yeah, the Bengals, you know.
That were Browns fans that became Baltimore fans after?
I think we were too young at the time. I had some, if I remember right, some friends of mine became like Green Bay Packer fans because they were kind of good at the time, and Brett Favre was like the hot name out there. So I remember specifically the Green Bay Packers, and then obviously the 49ers, a lot of people became because of the local ties around here. But that was just some of the things I remembered. But what did you do when the Browns left?
I stayed a Browns fan, and I really didn't follow football
for okay.
a bunch of years
yeah.
before
yeah.
they came back. And I had some friends who stayed relevant in football. And mm-hmm. They picked other teams.
Yeah.
Some of them went the Baltimore Ravens, and some went the Bengals.
So. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of sad. It was just kind of a sad time then. But, you know, we're lucky to have the team back, and eventually we will get a consistent winner. Eventually, Browns fans, you deserve it.
You think that'll ever happen?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a hopeless romantic.
Okay.
I'm a constant optimist, but yeah, it'll happen. It's hopefully while we're both alive, but it will happen. We're still plenty young. There's plenty of time for that.
Mm-hmm. Check back with us in 40 years and
yeah.
You'll be like, it'll happen any day now.
Any day now.
Any day.
Oh man. So any other thoughts before we close out?
No, that was good. I'm glad you got to dig into a little bit. You had Shooter McGavin and conspiracy theories in
yeah.
one.
Yeah, Bohemian show. Grove, check it out. And again, best wishes to East Palestine and the residents. But I do feel bad for Bristol. They should get to play that game. So move it to a neutral site. Maybe play again soon. So for Joe, I'm Justin. Everybody enjoy your weekend. Get out and see YSU men's and women's hoops this weekend at Big League.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate